Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Blue Jays From Away podcast, episode 42.
Got this force coming through in my blood, in my veins, it's a current of love.
In this episode, we bring you our interview with Markham, Ontario native Jordan Romano, in addition to a special interview with Midwest League MVP Ryan McBroom. So sit back, ladies and gentlemen, take a listen, and get your Blue Jays on. It's the Blue Jays From Away podcast. Thanks for joining us for the Blue Jays From Away podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by the Blue Jays From Away premium content section. This section features profiles on the players in the Blue Jays minor league system, as well as scouting reports and links to exclusive video. You can get the full story for only $15 for a yearly membership that also includes a free copy of the 2015 Toronto Blue Jays Minor League Handbook. You can get monthly access to the premium content section for only $1.99 per month. At Blue Jays From Away, we've got it covered. Stay tuned. We've got our interview with Jordan Romano coming right up. But first, here are a few words from the Midwest League MVP, the Lansing Lugnuts' Ryan McBroom. Welcome to the Blue Jays From Away podcast. I'm here with the newly crowned Midwest League MVP, Ryan McBroom. First of all, welcome to the podcast and congratulations.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. You know, it was an honor to, you know, to, I guess, achieve the award, and, you know, something that I worked for. So it's just a big congrats to the year we've had as a team, and, you know, it's pretty cool.
So what do you think? I mean, obviously your numbers are fantastic. You've been hitting over 300 all season. You've got quite a large number of home runs, a lot of RBIs especially. What do you attribute that to?
You know, it's the guys that play around me in the lineup, especially the guys that hit before me. Guys getting on base, stealing bases. Every time I come to the plate, I feel like someone's on base for me to either drive in or to move over to eventually score them. So it's just props to those guys, you know, having good ABs and, you know, allowing me to drive in those runs.
Now, I want to go back to actually yesterday's game, which was called early because of rain. And unfortunately, you probably don't get to keep the stats that you accumulated. But there was one at bat there where you hit a home run. And I was talking with a scout about that at bat in particular, because they were really trying to pitch around you. And I think they were trying to pitch around you the whole series. You weren't getting a lot of fastballs and getting a lot of breaking balls, a lot of pitches outside of the strike zone. What's going through your head in those types of at bats, not only that you hit home runs in, but when pitchers are really trying to avoid you?
Yeah, I can kind of sense, you know, I can kind of sense when pitchers are trying to, you know, make good pitches, especially with nobody on base, you know, first base open and stuff like that. I guess the props goes to, you know, our hitting coach. He's worked with me throughout the year and to help me, you know, I guess develop in situations like that and understand the situation and what they're trying to do. And I'm just, you know, I'm trying to do my best to, you know, get on base and, you know, help the team win. So,
and you know, the scout I talked to said, you know, you got a pitch on a 3-1 count, and you didn't miss it. You hit it a long way out to left field. He also said that a lot of guys do miss that pitch. So how do you sort of lock in and make sure that when you do get a pitch, you don't miss it?
That's tough. It's a tough thing to do. You know, there will be times when I do miss that pitch. But yesterday I was locked in, and I was expecting him to actually challenge me with that fastball right there. I had a gut feeling, and, you know, and luckily enough, I put a good swing on it, and you know, I got out of the ballpark. But I locked in a little bit extra right there because I just had a feeling, you know, he was going to try and come at me with a fastball and get to a full count and, you know, I guess eventually try and get me out. But I just put a good swing on that one and it got out of there. So,
now, the Lugnuts haven't had the best second half of the season after winning the first half. But with that first half win, the playoffs are assured. So how is the team really trying to stay focused going into the playoffs?
Yeah. We just come out and have fun every day. You know, it's been pretty much the same group of core guys for the most part, besides, you know, a few guys getting moved up. But we've been here pretty much the whole year. We're having fun. We know what's at stake, you know, coming up here in 2 or 3 weeks, you know, with the playoffs and stuff. It's something we've worked for all year. We're kind of not trying to change anything, to be honest with you, because we know what we're capable of doing, and we kind of want to just take that into the playoffs.
Now, what are you capable of doing? Are you going to go for that win in the Midwest League Championships?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, that's the goal. I think the first half kind of showed what we're capable of doing, to be honest with you. I know we haven't been playing too well, but, I mean, that's going to happen when you play 140 games. Eventually, you know, other teams are going to get the best of you, and we're going to try and put that behind us, you know, focus on what we did in the first half and winning games just back-to-back-to-back and, you know, hopefully carry that into the playoffs because we know we can do it.
All right, we're going to let you get into the cages and keep hitting. That's Ryan McBroom, the Midwest League MVP. Thanks for joining us.
I appreciate it, Mike. Have a good one.
Welcome to the Blue Jays From Away podcast. I am joined by Blue Jays pitcher and recovering injured pitcher Jordan Romano. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So Jordan is joining us from Dunedin in Florida, or that general area. How's the weather down there?
It's pretty hot. It's usually hot all the time. Lots of rain this time of year, but yeah, it's pretty good.
Now, if those of you who have been following our blog and also the Toronto Blue Jays and their drafting, Jordan was selected with a 10th round pick of the 2014 draft, and Jordan is a native of Markham, Ontario. So that's close to Toronto. Do you wish we had a little bit of the Toronto weather on days like today when you're down in Florida?
Oh, yeah. Toronto summers are perfect. So I'd like Toronto weather down here, that's for sure.
Now, you know, you started off after getting drafted. You were drafted in the 10th round, and that was out of Oral Roberts University. But that wasn't your first college that you played at. Can you tell the listeners sort of how you started? And I know you played with the Ontario Blue Jays, and that's Danny Blywas's program. You know, what can you tell us about going from the Ontario Blue Jays to a U.S. college program?
Well, the Ontario Blue Jays, like you said, run by Dan Blywas. It was a really good, like, starting point. Like, they have a good fall program. It's in the fall, we actually go and play, like, colleges across the U.S., so you kind of got, like, a little taste of it while you're still in high school. So it got you pretty prepared for when you actually, like, made the trip and you actually went down south and went to play schools, because you've already kind of, you know, gotten used to playing in stadiums and stuff like that. So, I mean, it was a pretty smooth transition.
Now, when you went to your first college, which I believe was Connors State University?
It's Connors College, yeah.
Okay. So your first college, you know, what was going on there?
It was a junior college in Oklahoma, and I got a scholarship there because with the Ontario Blue Jays, we went and played a tournament down at Connors State, and they saw me there. And I mean, it was a really good experience. I was kind of new to pitching and kind of like figuring things out. I had, you know, some success, some disappointment there, but I mean, it was a really good starting point for me. And after that, I got opportunity to play at Oral Roberts, so everything worked out pretty well there.
Now, was there any kind of culture shock? You know, here's an Ontario boy. You went to high school in Ontario, and then you're going down to Oklahoma.
Yeah, there's a big culture shock. I'm going from, you know, Markham, Toronto area, a lot of people, a lot of stuff going on, to Warner, Oklahoma, which had about 1,000 people. So, I mean, it was a different way of life, but, I mean, it was pretty fun. Yeah, it was definitely different, but, yeah, I definitely had a good time there.
And once you got to the more competitive ball at Oral Roberts, you know, what were you experiencing there, especially on the mound? And you worked mostly as a reliever.
The only thing I noticed, like, like competition wise, there was a lot more depth at the D1 level as compared to junior college. Like, the lineups that you had to face were pretty solid, 1 through 9, as opposed to JUCO. You know, you only have maybe 3 or 4 good hitters on a team. So, I mean, you had to be on your game to everyone you pitched to. That was kind of the only difference I noticed there.
Now, then you were drafted by the Blue Jays out of Oral Roberts, and you joined the Gulf Coast Jays for a little bit before spending most of the season in Bluefield. And I guess you'd be used to that sort of small town after pitching in Warner, Oklahoma.
Yeah, it was relatively the same. I mean, it was a good atmosphere in Bluefield. We had pretty good fans. The town loved the Bluefield Blue Jays. So yeah, it was definitely a good time playing there.
Now, you had a great year in Bluefield, a very low ERA of 2.16 and a lot of strikeouts, 33 strikeouts in 25 innings. What were you doing with the batters there? What had you so in command over them?
The main thing is I just, my fastball is probably my best pitch, so I just try to attack them with the fastball and get ahead, and once I'm ahead, I'll use my slider a lot and try to put them away with that. But yeah, it's just mainly attack the hitters with the fastball and try to get them to chase with the slider, put them away with that pitch.
Now, did the Blue Jays tell you anything after that season? Did they give you an assignment? Did they give you something to work on over the winter?
They didn't so much tell me. They gave me a few things to work on. This offseason, I was developing a changeup because as a reliever, because I was a closer at Oral Roberts, so I got away with just having fastball slider as my primary pitches. But they wanted me to work on a changeup so maybe I could go like more than one inning, maybe 3-4 if need be. So yeah, this offseason I was primarily working on a changeup, and that was the main thing.
This sort of brings us to the first time that I saw you pitch, which was over spring training, and you were down there in Florida, and you looked really, really good to me. I saw you throwing about 94 miles an hour with a lot of movement on your fastball, and talking to some of the players in camp, they were really giving you some rave reviews, and I'll mention Chase DeYoung as one who really thought that not only were you throwing hard and with great movement, but you were also a freakish athlete, and I think those were the words he used or something similar. What was it feeling like when you came back and things, at least, from my point of view, looked like things were coming out of your hand really well?
Well, thank you. The off season, I put on probably 15 pounds, 20 pounds of good weight. So, I mean, coming into camp, I was probably in the best shape of my life. And the ball, I mean, it felt really good when I was throwing. I was throwing a couple ticks harder than I had before, and everything felt pretty good. So I mean, it was a good off season that kind of translated to on the mound.
So, when I heard that you had torn your UCL and would need Tommy John, I was pretty upset because I was looking forward to seeing you in Lansing, and I was looking forward to seeing a good Canadian boy, as they say, really start to work his way up through the Blue Jays organization. But, I'm sure that disappointment was nothing compared to what you felt when all of a sudden you had this great offseason and a great spring training, and all that came to a stop.
Yeah, it was a little disappointing because, I had a good off season, and I was feeling awesome. Like, my arm was feeling great, and it was just one pitch. I threw a fastball, and then I definitely felt it in my elbow. I knew I did it. So I mean, it was not a good feeling, but that kind of stuff happens, and you just got to bounce back from it. But yeah, definitely a little disappointed from that.
Now, you're still in Dunedin, and you're rehabbing, and you're coming back, and you just said that you've just started to throw. But how's the process been? I know a lot of people say it's the hardest thing that they ever have to do in sports is recover from a major injury. Are you finding that?
Rehab up to this point, the first couple months were pretty tough. I mean, after surgery, sometimes I was just like looking down at my elbow, and it was, it was all swollen and stuff. And I was like, oh man, how am I going to get back from this and stuff like that. But I mean, looking back 20 weeks from then, it feels great. A lot of hard work went into that, but right now my elbow feels as strong as it did before. And, I just started throwing and everything feels great, pain free. Yeah. It feels really good right now. And I'm just, I'm throwing now and stuff, and everything feels good.
Now, has there been anyone down there that you've been able to go through the rehab with? I know the Blue Jays had a couple of, or at least three guys coming back from Tommy John at the beginning of spring.
Actually, a fellow Canadian, Tom Robson, he's in Lansing right now. We were rooming together, and he was kind of telling me the ins and outs, like what to expect after surgery and stuff like that. So, I mean, I wore him out with questions. I'd have to ask him questions every day about, you know, hey, my arm kind of hurts. Like, is this normal? And, like, he assured me everything was normal and stuff like that. So, yeah, Tom Robson, he was a pretty good guy to have down here and guide me through it.
Now, do the Canadian guys sort of form a little clique? Do you hang out a little bit more with them? Or is it just, are there other guys that you've become better friends with?
Oh, I mean, down here, the Canadians definitely kind of stick together. You know, we talk a lot of hockey and stuff like that. And but yeah, I mean, all the guys down here are great guys. There's a bunch of rehab guys. They're kind of in and out. Once they get healthy, they're kind of gone from here. But usually the rehab crew kind of sticks together and does stuff together because we're in the training room so much. So yeah, we kind of form a little bond.
Do you have t-shirts made up for the rehab crew, or are you just, is it a little less formal than that?
We don't really have a name. That's what we just call ourselves, the rehab guys. I don't know.
Now, you said that you just started throwing and everything is feeling good. And of course, that's great to hear. But is there sort of some level of relief when you actually get back out and start throwing and testing the arm?
So I started throwing on Monday, and the night before that, so Sunday night, I could barely sleep. It was like, I was like really excited / kind of nervous, see how it all felt, you know, so I was tossing and turning all night. But once I got a finally throw on Monday and everything felt good, it was like, it was just a weight off my shoulders. It felt so good. And kind of like, it was like, oh, all the rehab, the hard work and stuff kind of paid off. So big relief. I was really excited.
Now you're down there and it must be kind of an isolating thing. I guess your family's back in Toronto. And it must be tough because I think rehabbing players, you have more downtime, I think, than the guys on the teams and on the affiliates. You know, what do you do to get away from the game? What do you do to, you know, fill some of that time?
Yeah, we definitely have a lot of downtime here because we usually get out from the field maybe around 2 o'clock. We'll get there at 7 and leave at 2. So the rest of the time, I mean, we play a lot of Xbox. Like a lot of our game of choice right now is NHL 2015. So me and the guys, we always just play that, kind of kill some time.
So who's the best video hockey player there is on the team?
Well, I mean, if you're asking me, I'm going to say me, but if you're going to ask the other guys, they'll probably say themselves, but I think I'm the best down here.
And who have you beaten and who sort of talked a big game and then you beat them and you have the bragging rights now?
Me and Tom Robson, we played a lot. It was kind of even though he's pretty good. And Ryan Barucki, he's down here rehabbing too, and we play all the time. But I think I have the upper hand on him.
Now, is it just your innate sense of being Canadian that gives you the upper hand, or have you practiced a lot and really developed your video hockey skills?
I think just being a Canadian, I have a more natural feel for the game than most Americans. So.
Have you, you know, I know you guys are probably really, really tuned into what the Blue Jays have been doing, especially with all the trades that the Blue Jays made at the deadline. And you probably saw quite a lot of friends going to
other teams. So we have the MLB network down here and, we watch all the Blue Jays games. And, when the trade deadline was coming up, a lot of the guys down here were holding their breath because, you know, that was a big thing. A lot of guys could get traded and stuff like that. So we were kind of following all the moves, and it's really exciting to see what the big club's doing right now. It's pretty exciting to watch.
So I was just sort of looking at your birth date, and you're definitely a little too young to remember the last time the Blue Jays had this much excitement about them in the city. But do you kind of feel like you'd want to be back home in Toronto with I guess your friends back home who are probably big Blue Jays fans to experience the excitement that there is around the team right now?
Oh yeah, definitely. I was talking to my dad and my brother the other day, and they're just saying that the atmosphere in Toronto is unlike they've ever seen in a long time. So, I mean, if they make the playoffs, I'm definitely gonna come home and watch a game. That's for sure. I couldn't miss that.
Does it give you that little bit of extra motivation to, you know, to work hard and get to the big leagues, especially if there's going to be that excitement around the team?
Oh, for sure. I'm working hard down here because I definitely want to be a part of that. That'd be a pretty amazing thing.
All right, we're going to let you go, but thanks very much for joining us. It's Jordan Romano. He's a pitcher in the Blue Jays organization, and we hope to see him next year lighting things up, coming up through the system. Thanks very much, Jordan.
All right, thanks for having me.
That's it for episode number 42 of the Blue Jays From Away podcast. I'd like to thank Jordan Romano and Ryan McBroom for joining the podcast. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter @JaysFromAway. Come on back soon, and go Jays, go.